Thanks, Shannon. You cram a whole lot in half an hour, and your life's incredible. It's a lot of study, a lot of change of direction. You're always seeking God's leading in that, which is fantastic, and an example for all of us. So I'm right around with this microphone, and whoever has questions, please put up your hand and fire away.
Was the toilet bowl a Japanese or Western style?
That's an excellent question asked by someone who has obviously been to Japan and knows that Japanese toilets are very unusual. You do need multiple degrees to actually operate them. Yes, so it was a Western style toilet. Yeah.
Sorry.
It was.
Thanks, Shannon. If you have any spare time, what do you do in it?
Yeah, thank you. The emergency services thing, once it gets in the blood, it's hard to shake. So I volunteer with my local CFA brigade at research, and that's how I love to spend some of my spare time.
Did you have another child?
Yes, we did. We had three other children. Thank you for asking. So there was a year that I talked about, 2006, that was a really difficult year. That was a difficult year. I only spoke vocationally, but in that year, our daughter Lydia was born. That was a great joy of the year, but that she was born in April. By August, we knew she was a poorly child. And by August, she'd been diagnosed with a life-threatening cancer. And she'd become paralysed, permanently paralysed was the diagnosis. And there was a stage there in late August where she went in for surgery. We signed 11 consent forms because the doctors didn't know what they would discover when they opened her up, and they had an army of doctors lined up for whoever might have to step in and do their thing, and we were told to say goodbye. So 2006 was a very tricky year. I tell that story with joy because if any of you see Lydia walking around the church, you can see that that is truly a miracle. There's another whole other story that I might tell another day about her healing, but profound act of prayer that has baffled the doctors ever since. A true miracle. We have Lydia, we have Toby, and we have Caleb. Yeah.
Thank you, Shannon. I recognise the wisdom in what's your name, what do you do? What's your learning on what's a better approach to lead away from that dichotomy?
I've come to ask, how do you keep busy? Yeah. What interests do you have? Tell me about your family. Those kinds of questions I've found have been much more helpful to try and steer that away. When I meet someone new, a guy in particular, I'll tend to ask those sorts of questions. Yeah.
Thanks for your talk. Can you talk a little bit more about what you've reflected on that Hebrew word for worship that could mean work or service as well?
What have I reflected on there? Just how profound it is that that I for many years, and I see many men trying to live separate lives, live their faith life, their worship life, their church life, if you like, and then their work life. And the idea that this word kind of symbolises or represents the fact that these two things can coexist. And so, like, if I imagine, say, if I had have thought some time ago that a plumber might be worshipping at work, I would think of something like, well, as they're fixing the taps, they're singing a hymn or something. What I've grown to discover is the actual fixing of the taps can be their worship. And if we can find that space, I think that vocation and work was part of God's original design and was spoken specifically to men. This is why I think it's quite significant, specifically to Adam. He was given the command to work and keep the garden. And it's really interesting that the first curse that is directed to Adam is around his work. And then I think it's in Colossians we can read about how things are restored, and that there's work for us to do. We've been created, and that there's a new creation in Christ, and that there's new work for us to do. And I think part of the secret is to discover what is that work that God has made for us to do, and to do that good work is, I think, part of the reflection too for me, and that whole understanding of it can be co-located. Yeah.
Thanks for the talk, Shannon. I guess I had two questions which are kind of linked. The first was, how did you find, like, how did your kids in particular, it sounded like a lot of what you're doing is quite transient and, you know, jetting off various places and with various, professions or things you were doing. How did that sit with, having a family and kids and stuff like that? And the second was also in your work, particularly in counselling, particularly in emergency services stuff, how do you have enough emotional capacity left at the day to actually invest in those around your friends, family, and that sort of stuff?
Okay, two great questions. I guess the first thing is the timing of that travel, and that is really important. So that happened mainly when I was working with Deloitte, all of that global work. And at that stage, we were married but had no kids. And we saw that kind of work stretch so many families to the point of breaking that Joe and I had an agreement that the moment that we discovered we were pregnant, I would start looking for work in another area, because we just didn't think it was going to be conducive to family, and we saw that manifest itself with a lot of people. Then when we did the moving, so that was the moving for work, the travel for work. Then when we did a lot of the moving that we talked about, you know, from Adelaide to Canberra and Adelaide to UK, our kids came with us, just like here. So it's something that I'm very sensitive to, something I really don't get right all the time. It's a balancing act. But we didn't have to manage that, but we saw the risk behind that. In terms of the emergency services work, it impacts different people differently. I'm really fortunate that I'm not doing it all the time. It's a constant part, but what I mean is I'm not doing it every day, 8 hours a day. I don't think anyone could, that kind of work. And the interesting thing for me, for my family, is as I hear and experience and journey with people, my overwhelming sense is one of gratitude, one of great and enormous gratitude. And so I cope by coming home, and there has been many times where my kids kind of stir because Dad's come in from something and he's giving us a big hug again. I go and appreciate my kids and my marriage so much more because of what I get to see in other places. And so for me, I don't find it too emotionally taxing, but I feel it does just fill me with a great sense of gratitude for what I have. Yeah. Yeah.
G'day, Shannon. Just a question. You've reflected a lot on the last 30 years and how you've come to be where you are. I'd be interested in your reflections on the next year or two, looking ahead, particularly the question of ordination. And you know, I know that it doesn't change your identity in God's eyes, but I'd be interested in your reflection on, you know, I understand the coming under authority bit, but how do you see that your life and work and ministry and family will be different because of the ordination bit? And also, you know, how will it affect your life, work and ministry?
It's a good question to which I have no answers. And I guess I'm really much journeying in faith in that space. And in the whole ordination journey, I've been very upfront with all of the people I've interacted with, saying I've got just as much question as you might have of me. I've got question of this. And so every step along the way, I've considered that. I guess one of the things that came of the spiritual direction that I had during that crisis moment where I lost the job at Stirling and I was just, was the amazing pastor who led me through that journey, he also identified that this situation where I was maybe now going to practice as a counsellor, as a chaplain, and as a Bible college teacher outside of some sort of good spiritual authority was a risk that eventually might come back and bite either me or the people I were working with. And I thought that was really wise. I thought that was really wise that I don't want to be operating outside of spiritual authority. And so in some ways it might be, if there's no manifestation, if it's just a fantastic insurance policy that keeps me and the people I'm working with protected, then that might be the purpose that it serves. I don't know. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing so honestly. I really appreciate it very much. So I've got two questions. They might be the same question. I'm not sure. Ephesians 2:10, you referenced that. God yeah. prepared great works in advance for us to do. And listening to you as you're describing your journey, I may have misinterpreted, and please tell me if I have. You thought this was the great work and you were going to do that, and then you thought this one, but it didn't work out. And then you were trying a whole range of different things, and various things came along and torpedoed or sidewind or, you know, whatever didn't happen. How do you reflect on that verse? Is there an ideal, or is it in the mess? Is it in the partial, in the incomplete, in the partially accomplished? Is the good work that God planned in advance for you to do all of those bits and pieces rather than leading to one ultimate expression of it? I'd just be interested in your reflection on that. And the second question is... Well, I think they're going to be related questions. The second question is, you said that men often get the two fundamental questions about vocation mixed up by asking what am I going to do before working out who I am. So just reflecting on your own life, how has that worked out? When do you think you worked out who you were, and how has that changed in your choices of what to do? Because you've had quite a few different choices about what to do along the way.
Yeah. I'll take the last question first because that's easier to answer. That discovery for me was the profound thing that came out of the wilderness that I went through in the middle of 2020 when I lost my job at Sterling. Was I had realised that in my own life I was trying to answer the question about who I was by what I did. That was the profound thing. And the profound healing that came from the spiritual direction that I received was I realised they were two good questions to ask, but I needed to ask them in the opposite order. And so I was drawn to a deep understanding of my identity in Christ that I didn't not know previously. But that was the basis. And so work can come and go. Different jobs can come and go. I can be employed, retired. I can be incapacitated. All those things can happen. And I can move forward now, I feel, with a sense of confidence, a confidence that I was probably previously putting in my own ability and my own capacity to achieve and get work. Well, I have a confidence now, but it doesn't come from that. It comes from my confidence in Christ, as it probably should have all along, but I just was misplacing it. So now with that as my solid foundation, I feel I could ride out it pretty much any bump, or many other bumps would be easier to ride around what do I do. So I think that's the second question, and that was the profound impact for me in that space. The other thing I would say in terms of good works is I kind of think I've come to the conclusion for me, A, that those good works, and when I used to hear that text, I used to imagine that good works were like good deeds, like helping old ladies across the road and that kind of thing. The word there is the root word that is used is ergon, from where we get ergonomics, which is actually, I think, a better understanding that it's about work. It's not about a series of good tasks, but it's about vocation and calling. And I think there's a legitimacy in that translation. I don't know if this is helpful, but this is how I see this more broadly, that I think I don't think there's one one little secret work that is out there for me that I have to relentlessly pursue and solve as a riddle. In the same way as when I talk to a lot of young men about finding their wife, I don't believe that there is this one woman individually selected and, you know, the challenge is to try and navigate the millions and billions to find that one individual. I genuinely believe that you could I could find satisfaction in a number of different jobs, but there's more jobs that I wouldn't find satisfying. In the same way, there are plenty of women that I shouldn't have married, but I could probably have a happy marriage with a small... I'm very happy with the wife I've got, by the way, but... but I don't know if that's helpful, but I think it does validate the fact that you want to make good choices and wise choices. And I think in what I was pursuing and what I discovered in the world of Christian counselling is I felt that in this space, this is the good work or that I've been made to do. Now, what form and flavour that takes, I don't know, but I don't think it'll radically shift from that. It might kind of vary here and there, but that I don't know if that's a helpful answer to the question. Yeah, that's right, yeah. And I also believe that God can redeem everything. So I don't feel that all of those things have been a waste of time. They've been valuable learnings and lessons, and God will use that in a great way.
Thanks so much for your talk and your honesty. Just hopefully this is a simpler question. You mentioned spiritual counselling, and I wondered whether that was just like the kind of counselling you get when you're really confused or something. Can you explain what it is?
If I did say the word spiritual counselling, then I spoke out of turn. There is Christian counselling. Sorry, spiritual direction. Okay, yeah. Spiritual direction has been around for centuries, and it's essentially so. The purpose of spiritual direction is to come alongside of the directee. Would be the technical term, to help them find and identify the activity of and work of God in their situation, basically. That's kind of its purpose and underlying idea is to... Now, spiritual direction has come out of a Christian context. It's being adapted to other non-Christian spiritualities, but it's been around for centuries. It's very, very active and prominent in the Catholic Church, and so it's quite... strong in that space, but it's about actively seeking a person who is wiser, more experienced, and they will journey you through spiritual direction. So there's a lady in this congregation that my daughter sees for spiritual direction in her journey, and so I don't want to create the idea that it's radical and wacky. It's a long-standing thing that's been in mainstream Christianity for a long time, but in our medicalizing of people's issues, the idea of spiritual direction seems to have lost flavor amongst people, and I think it needs to be rediscovered in a powerful way.
We need to wind up by, it'd be nice to wind up by seven. Peter's got the last question, so he's the lucky one. Here we go.
Shannon, thanks very much for what you've said, and I, for one, am very pleased that you found a home in the Anglican Church. Now, at one stage in your talk, you said you discovered, or you and Joe discovered, you could just as easily be Lutheran as you could be Anglican. Could you just explain what that means?
Sure. Through our various moves and transitions and various ministries, Joe and I have had a lot of involvement with ministries ecumenically. So we have the youth call program that I talked about that was run by a Pentecostal charismatic group. We have a strong connection. I provide a lot of counselling services to a lot of Catholic groups, Catholic charismatic group, interestingly enough. We have friends that are from Baptist backgrounds. So I guess the picture I'm trying to paint is that we have a really broad and good understanding of the wider Christian church. We even had experience in Japan for a few months of a sect. We didn't know we were part of it. We pulled out as soon as we discovered it, but that's kind of the breadth of our journey. Within that, you can narrow it down pretty quickly. We find ourselves, and it almost comes down to two sacraments. So we believe that God works sacramentally in a powerful way in his church. And so that then puts you in the Catholic, Anglican, Lutheran community largely. But the idea that we think that there's only two sacraments, those being baptism and communion, puts us in a narrow band that both Anglicans and Lutherans share. So that is one of a key example of where we find ourselves very comfortable in that kind of space. And that's one of the reasons we love St. Alf's, is that we find it sacramental in the sense that we believe that God is here and active and working through his baptism and through communion in a powerful way. It's more than just taking time to remember. But at the same time, we acknowledge there's only two sacraments. There's not ordination and weddings and those kinds of things. So I don't know if that's helpful, but that's kind of where we find ourselves. But even those two churches are broad churches. It's very much in the evangelical stream that we find ourselves most comfortable. And the Lutheran church straddles a wider stream, as does the Anglican community. But St. Alf's is a wonderful, I'm not just saying this because I'm addressing your question, Peter, but we find that St. Alf's is just a wonderful community for where we find ourselves comfortable in the faith.
Thanks, Shannon. Before we thank Shannon, I'll just pray for Shannon. Father God, thank you for what Shannon has had to share this evening. Thank you that he's opened our eyes to the value of work. And work not only applies to people who are employed for an income, it applies for students. It applies to students who use their minds and use their hands. And may all students here use their minds and use their hands to your glory. And all workers who are actually in a workplace with other colleagues, may they use their hands and use their minds to your glory. And all those who are retired, may likewise they use their hands and use their minds to your glory. And bless Shannon. Thank you for the miracle of his daughter being restored. And thank you for the blessings in his life. Thank you for the journey you've taken him on and the lessons you've taught him, some tough lessons. But thank you for the lessons you've taught him and the wisdom he has gleaned from that. And bless him and his family and his journey forward. May we continue to seek to glorify you and be a blessing to all those people he ministers to. In Jesus' name, amen.